Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there and with fish and bread on it. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt, because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Let us pray. Our gracious and most loving God, that question was not only for Peter. It's a question that you ask us. Do you love me? Lord, if we answer yes, then our instructions are to feed your lambs, to tend the sheep, and to feed the sheep. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the revelation that was given to John, where we hear of the promise that if Christ is our Lord, that we will one day, for all of eternity, be with our brothers and sisters, praising and worshiping our triune God. Lord, I pray that the words that I am about to speak are your words and yours alone. I pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Some powerful scripture that we heard this morning. Not that all of scripture is not powerful, but I believe the words that we heard this morning have special meaning. The words from Revelation, to think that one day that we will be there worshiping with millions of others, thousands upon thousands, I think is sometimes beyond our comprehension. I don't think we can imagine, truly understand the amazing worship that we are one day going to experience if Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Look around. I mean, look around. We struggle to get people to come into the house on a Sunday morning for an hour to worship our Lord. And so to imagine millions and thousands upon thousands worshiping and praising forever is almost beyond our imagination, isn't it? We struggle to understand where people are today. Why it is that they reject coming to hear the word of the Lord, to sing our praises to him, to lift up our prayers. One thing we know is the world we live in is broken. Each and every one of us are broken individuals. We are all in need of the Savior. But we live in a world where marriages are broken. Families are fractured. People are filled with bitterness and anger and hate. We live in a world where other things have become the subject of worship that pull us away from the Lord. We often hear, I want to go back to the good old days. I want to go back to the time where there was prayer in school, where no stores were open on Sundays, where there were no sports on Sundays. Back to the days of Ozzie and Harriet, a time when life was simple, where families gathered around the dinner table and talked about their day and solved those problems in the matter of time that it took them to eat their meal together. But what we forget is that wasn't the world to everyone, even in the glory days. But it surely isn't the world we live in today. We want to think that everybody has this perfect life. But if we're truly honest with ourselves, we know that that is not truth. Now, part of the difference is, in the world today, pregnancy out of wedlock, divorce, alcohol and drug abuse, pornography, child abuse, is out in the open, where in the 1950s, those things were happening, they were just kept hidden. Today, we see more of it. We hear more of it because it is more open in the world today. We live in a world where there is a camera everywhere. Whether it's attached on the inside or the outside of a building, or whether it's carried in the hands of someone with their cell phone. Everything is caught on camera. What is it that we want to see in our world today? today. Now, we have to be realistic. It's not going to go back to what it once was. And so we need to take away that image of these perfect families where moms and dads never argue because they honor one another as Christ honors the church as his bride. It's never going to go back to where children have total respect for their parents, not because of they fear what will happen to them, but because they know that that is the commandment that God has given to honor your mothers and your fathers. We want to imagine that we live in a community where there is no poverty, but that is not the case. A place where there is no crime, where there are no people who are living under the influence. When that's what we imagine in our minds, we are telling ourselves untruths. We want to go back to the days when we remember people sitting on their porches and neighbors visiting with neighbors. Nowadays, how many people do you even see sitting out on their porch? We want to go back to those days when kids played under the streetlights and when they knew when to come home without being told. Walk through the neighborhoods and see how many children you even see outside today. We want to live in a world where everybody doesn't have a device in their hand. But you know what? That's never going to be either. That's the future of our world. My friends, no matter how much we want that reality of going back, we cannot have it. So what we need to do is we need to open our eyes to the world that is around us and open our hearts to hear how it is that we can take the hope of the world, the Savior of the world, out into our communities to make a difference in the lives of those who do not know him. How is it that we can make a difference to those who have not yet accepted Jesus Christ so that they can be part of the millions, the thousands upon thousands who will be praising our Lord forever and ever? Imagine sitting with John as he is given these words, as he sees these visions. And imagine you're only getting a small glimpse of that. I am sure John had hoped or wished that he could go back to the days before Christ's crucifixion. But John is living in the here and now. John takes that good news out into the world and he gives us the revelation that is being given to him to see beyond where he was. John saw beyond broken relationships. He saw beyond abused children. He saw beyond a world that seemingly had gone mad, a world that seemed to be worshiping at the altar of hate and violence, of alcohol and drugs. He saw beyond the selfishness of getting what he wanted. He saw beyond the hurt that affected so many other people. What John saw was the power that cannot fail to create the life that God meant for each and every individual. John saw that self-giving love of Christ laying down his life. That powerful vision of the lamb that was slaughtered. John saw the love of the one who gave himself up for a miserable, wretched world. How do you think you would have responded to the glimpses of what John saw? Do you think that you would have been overtaken with the sadness of seeing then hearing of what is going to be the future of the earth? Or do you think that you would have been excited in an anticipation of what awaits those who know Jesus Christ? Of seeing that victory that has been given through the blood of Jesus for the millions upon millions, thousands upon thousands, coming together to praise and worship our Lord. We struggle to get people into worship for 1 hour. And we hear complaints if it goes over an hour. We struggle to get people to go to a building that is not their own. So can you even imagine for one moment what it's going to be like to be with millions of others praising God forever and ever? To stand in the very presence of the one who loved us so much, he died for us. The one who loves us enough to send his Holy Spirit to dwell in us and among us. We will be standing in the presence of love. We will be bathed in love. How many of you look forward to that day? I think there is nothing greater than the power of love. But that power of love is being poured out on us every single day. It's being poured out in the world. Love is not lived in an arrogant, controlling way. Love is not lived through self-serving manipulation. Love is lived out in sacrificial giving. I'd like you to think about the verses that you heard in the gospel lesson this morning of how Jesus showed love and grace to Peter. Remember Peter? The one who said, "Jesus, I will die for you." But when push came to shove, he denied him not once, but three times. And that push wasn't even that much of a push. Yet Jesus forgave him. And he showers him with love and forgiveness. And he gives Peter instructions. "With every Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He gives him an instruction. "Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." The only way that Peter was able to do that was because he believed and he accepted Christ and he lived according to the word that Christ had given him. What about you and I? First, can we see beyond ourselves to Jesus? Can we see beyond ourselves to know the will of God and what his vision is for us as his church? Can we see the love that Jesus has for us? A love that is filled with forgiveness and grace that is not only meant for us, but meant for the world? Can we see the love that is sacrificially given for the benefit of someone else? The only way for us to know that love is to know Jesus. And the only way for us to give that love to others is to have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So in order to live the life that God is calling us to, we must love one another. And we must love and care for those who are not yet here. This is something you're probably going to hear from me more than once. More than 75% of the population of Tyrone are unchurched. Think about that. More than 75%. So how is it that God is calling us to feed his lambs, to tend to his sheep, and to feed his sheep? Amen.